I'm Paul Schindler, and this is a TechWeb Internet Insider Profile.
There's a lot of hype around, you know, the notion of free source, but not a whole lot of incremental value that's obvious to me when we're dealing with mission-critical systems.
Jeff Pappas is president and CEO of Lotus Development Corporation. He's been speaking on Internet issues, such as how often to revise software that's distributed on the Internet, and whether the free source movement benefits customers. His views are strong, clear, and bereft of product hype. I spoke with him recently by telephone. You told at least one audience that you thought this rev-a-day culture that the Internet has encouraged, where software vendors are constantly revving their software products, was not likely to continue because corporate users are simply not going to install mission-critical software revisions that frequently. Did I understand that correctly? Do you feel that culture came into existence, and do you feel it's sustainable?
That was a culture that evolved out of the period of the browser wars when, you know, constant iterations in the term that we pervasively coined, you know, web years provided the, you know, kind of software iteration of the moment. And that was fine for reasonably simplistic technology like browsers that at the end of the day is, you know, not mission critical, but that model fundamentally falls apart when you deal with mission critical applications like messaging and web-based application platforms. And, you know, A, it's impractical to think that CIOs are going to deploy that kind of broad infrastructure on a, you know, many times a year kind of basis. I've found in practice it just doesn't happen. And secondly, people have begun to better understand the absolute criticality of the infrastructure, and that kind of quality and reliability risk simply isn't worth the upside. So I think that phenomenon is being eclipsed by, you know, a more mature understanding as the market evolves.
Before we get off that subject, just let me ask you one more question. I've been to some conferences where people have enthusiastically embraced this culture. It may be dying out at the high end of corporate, but there are software developers who call this a tight feedback loop, and who say that the rev of the month keeps them on the ground, listening to the people, and giving the user exactly the software they want with quick fixes on every single reported bug. Would you concede that there is any upside to that culture at all?
Well, I think there was a lot of excitement generated around this Wild West atmosphere of the Internet and this constant, you know, progression of revolving releases. And I think, you know, what you're describing was very consistent with some of the kind of emotive responses to it. I don't think there's a lot of value there, and I think more and more people understand the downside associated with it. And I don't think it's a practice or a concern that's limited to enterprises. I think small and medium-sized businesses understand it as well. You know, Netscape has tried to reinvigorate this model to some degree around this notion of the free, you know, free client software and Internet dispersed source code. To me, that's a recipe for a lot of risk in both the development cycle that you know isn't obviously necessarily going to benefit the users. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't need institutionalized way to get user feedback, but there's a lot more ways to get that than having, you know, everybody with a keyboard out there making changes to the source code that's going to support your mission critical systems and throwing it back over a firewall. So I think it's an overly simplistic view of it, and I don't personally subscribe a lot of value to it.
Now, I told you that was going to be the last question, but I have to say, in listening to your answer, I feel obliged to ask another, because the open source movement, as you know, is gathering momentum in some quarters. In particular, I remember at a recent conference here in San Francisco that somebody quoted, it might have been McNeely, as saying, there will always be more of them out there than there are us in here. And the theory operating from that statement is that open source provides thousands or tens of thousands of people to eyeball the source and make improvements, whereas no company can afford to make that kind of internal investment. Is there a fallacy in that logic that you see?
I think there is a bit of a fallacy. I mean, I don't want to poo-poo the idea totally. I mean, to me, this is nothing different than the kind of broad beta cycles that mature commercial products like Lotus Notes have gone through for years. We're about to post, in another couple of weeks' time, the first beta or version 5 of Lotus Notes, and that will go out to thousands and thousands of beta sites. And there's obviously tremendous value in user feedback in getting iterative responses both to UI conventions and code quality from that kind of release process. But candidly, that's nothing new. Lotus didn't invent it. That's been a part of the taxonomy of software development for, you know, a decade. You know, there's a lot of hype around, you know, the notion of free source, but, you know, there's not a whole lot of incremental value that's obvious to me when we're dealing with mission-critical systems. I think it's fine in the categories of software where you can afford to be exposed in those dimensions. I think having the user feedback and participation is great, but it's got to be institutionalized in ways that are manageable.
I heard Mitch Kapoor at the Real Audio Conference a couple of weeks ago say that he'd like to see the Internet appeal more to the higher intelligence functions, group decision making, and that sort of thing. And my impression is that it might not be a coincidence that Lotus is headed in that direction. Do you see some of your web-based products headed for the higher functions?
Yeah, I think that's true. I think, you know, the Internet's one of the few pieces of computing infrastructure that's been both concurrently overhyped and undervalued. And, you know, that would seem like an oxymoron, but it's probably actually accurate in this particular instance. For all of the tremendous hyperbole surrounding the Internet, up until the last, you know, 18 months to 2 years, most of what it was used for was static publishing, or what I typically refer to as brochureware. You know, we put up a series of web pages on our intranet and we consume it, or we create an electronic presence in the form of a website. We're getting into a category of what I refer to as market-facing systems, or interactive, more dynamic, knowledge-based applications which deal with things, to Mitch's point, like collaboration, codifying tacit information in actionable ways in our employee populaces, and that's a much more exciting, a much higher return equation than static publishing models, and clearly it's all trending in that direction.
You've been listening to a TechWeb Internet audio report. Thanks for listening.